Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Boom! Hey, praise God, it's good to be in the house today. Take a seat. My name is Lisa. I am the lead pastor here together with my gorgeous husband, David Stoner. And the difference between David and I is that I was able to ride a bicycle when I was 5 years old, whereas David just learnt when he was 39 years old. That will make more sense to you if you were here last week. So good to see everybody. You know what? Our new era is beginning with a season of breaking out. I love how David was mentioning just then all our new locations, Sunderland and London, everything that's happening. Even 10 months' time to Kuala Lumpur. I'm just going to say that every time I'm on the stage because I love the word Kuala Lumpur. But our pastors Joel and Emma Burden are getting ready to start that very soon. And that's just another thing for church. But I love how David last week defined what breaking out is. And I'm going to repeat that for us right now. Breaking out is this. It's discovering that we can do more than we thought we could do. It's becoming more than we thought we could be. It's overcoming incredible odds. Breaking out is defeating intense opposition. It's entering into the reality of the things that we've dreamed for. And it's gaining what we've worked for. Breaking out is entering a new level of life as we take hold of all that we are and have in Christ Jesus. I love that. Breakout is for everybody at any point. Sometimes we can talk about it as a corporate thing. You know, we talk about it as a church thing. But you know what? Breakout is personal. And sometimes and often, breakout is just there for the taking. It is just there to be had. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I think Jen Baker was preaching, and she told a story about how about 12 Hope City pastors got caught in a lift, stuck in a lift. Roger, you got out just in time. 12 Hope City pastors caught in a lift in Germany, and we were there, and as they entered the lift and the doors closed, it began to fall, so it dropped all these people, the future of the church, in this lift. But it only dropped about 2 feet, so we were all right. The brake kicked in. And I'm just going to tell you a little snippet, my version of events, in case it gets lost in the annals of history, my part in this. And I feel you must know this today, so I'm going to make it really clear. Okay, I'm on the outside because Dave's probably told you this, but he chucked me out because he heard the alarm. He's like, no, we're getting out. And we got out before the doors closed. And when the doors, wise, this is a good pastor to have. We're in safe hands here. We won't get stuck in no lift with no other location, pastor. We will be in the right part of the room that we're meant to be in. But basically, the door's closed. And then it drops. Okay, so the caretaker comes, and being German, he only speaks German, which I think is fair enough in your own country. And so he comes in like that, and he looks pretty smug, and he opens the door, and the door pulls back. And that's when the smugness goes, because behind the other door, he hadn't bargained on there being another door just behind it, a real serious steel door, and he hadn't bargained on the fact that they had dropped. So actually, if you could peek through the tiny edge, you could just sort of see the heads were like there rather than up here. And we knew he'd lost the plot really when he just let go of the door and started hammering on the button like we'd not tried that already, just hammering away on that button. So basically, this is what happened. Okay, he panics, he runs around, eventually opens that door again. And so we've got Steve Bullock from Germany. Yeah, Pastor Steve. So he's there, and there's a latch. And we're looking at this latch, and we're observing it, and we're thinking, oh, if we could, he'd worked it out. If we lifted the latch, we should be able to open the door. Seemed simple. But the problem was, there's a little orange light and a little green light. So every time you go near it, started to flash. And we're like, we don't want to make this situation any worse than it is. We're several floors up. We don't want a tragedy on our hands. So we're proceeding with some caution. But then, a short while later, the biro comes out. Okay, Steve's not touching this thing, but the biro comes out, he lifts the latch, these fingers here, right? These ones that you can see, not particularly manicured, but my fingers, clutch hold of this door and pull it back. Oh, yes. So and they leap to their rescue out of the building. As I'm holding this out of the lift, and they are safe. For you see, when a door is open before you, it's your moment and your choice whether you actually step out or whether you stay where you are. Whether you step out and live free or whether you step out and you actually return to the place where you were before. Because sometimes breakout is as simple as taking the next step. I love in the Bible, it'll come on the screen, in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1, Paul is writing to the Galatians, and he says this. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Now, he's speaking to them at that time because they had heard the message of grace. They had heard the message that they no longer had to be bound by law and following a whole list of laws and rules to be right with God. They'd heard that if they just simply put their faith in what Jesus Christ had done, that he had paid a price for them and lived in his grace, then they were free, free to live with God, free for a new life. But their tendency was actually to return to the old and try and find safety in something that was just familiar to them and be bound up by a whole host of rules rather than living in a new way. You know, sometimes, and it says this in the Bible, if we hold to the truth, in John chapter 8, if you hold to the truth, if you continue in God's word, it says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And there is freedom for everybody, freedom to take that next step, freedom to know personally in our lives a new level of liberation that is maybe not so far beyond you than you first thought. So I want to look at today, not just corporate breakthrough, but I want to look at how we can experience personal breakthrough in our lives. Now, we're going to bring a scripture up, so I don't know how this is going to work, whether I'm going to block it all out, but it's Mark chapter 5, and it says this, verse 25 to 35. Oh, that's okay. Can you still see it if I stand here? No, all right. I'm going to duck. Okay, so it says, and there was a woman. So Jesus is walking around and there's crowds of people around him. And there was this woman. And she'd had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And she had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. What an incredible story. What an incredible moment for that woman. That passage of scripture is often entitled the woman with the issue of blood. But what I like about it is that was her issue. But you know, all of us have different types of issues in our lives. Sometimes it's a health issue. Sometimes it's a habit, something that we keep on doing that we don't want to keep on doing, but we seem to not be able to break free from. Sometimes it can be in the area of thinking. So many people, you know, sometimes your thoughts don't go where you want them to go, or you think about yourself in a certain way, or you find your mind wandering and worrying about, like Jono was saying before, what's the worst that can happen? And you seem to find that your default setting seems to be negative, or there's some issues that different ones of us have that we would love to be free from. And yet we don't quite know how to step free from them. I love that God is real and he can work in every situation. But this woman that day, with her eyes set on Jesus Christ, said, this is my day. This is the day of breakthrough. This is the day when everything changes. This is the day when I will no longer stay the same, but I'm going to take what is mine. I bet that every year from there, she had a little celebration. Every year there was an anniversary cake for this woman and whoever her friends were. Little cake, little candle went in, just to remember that day when everything changed and she got her breakthrough. I love that. And you know, we can read this message and get a lot about healing in it. But as you read through the text, you realize it wasn't just her healing that she got that day. She broke through in so many other areas as well. One of the areas that I love is that day, what she became free from was being a stigmatized woman. You see, this woman carried stigma around her with her, like a mark of shame. Because it said, if you know the Mosaic law, if you're familiar with that in Leviticus 15, that if you had, read that for your devotional this morning, did you? Who had that? I love it sometimes when I'm at church and like someone comes up with a message or a scripture. I'm like, I read that scripture this morning in my quiet time. I was thinking this should be a badge, It's not for the humble, maybe. God's still working on me. But there should be a badge, shouldn't they? I love it when that happens. But in Leviticus 15, it tells you that any woman who had an issue of blood for, you can close your eyes, guys, but every once a month and all of that. Okay, 7 days. These women, they had to be set apart while that was going on. And anything they sat on, anything they touched, it was considered unclean. And they themselves were considered unclean. So basically, you were an outcast for those 7 days. But if you like this woman, that never ended. Ladies, isn't that atrocious? It never ended. And so all the time, she was isolated. And it wasn't just a little thing. It was a big deal. She probably wasn't allowed in the temple. People probably kept away from them because anyone who came near to her or touched anything she touched or touched her would have to themselves be set apart and have a whole ritual of bathing themselves before they themselves could be considered clean. So this was the woman you didn't hang out with. This was the woman you didn't invite to any parties. This was a woman you didn't want to be near because it was a whole lot of hassle to sort yourself out if you'd spent any time with her. And you can bet your bottom dollar this woman was lonely and that she was isolated. And no, not only was she suffering the pain of her sickness, but she was suffering the pain of rejection. But that day, when she touched Jesus, it was gone. It was a fresh start for her. It wasn't just that she was healed. That stigma was gone. She could go and take her, which says she'd have to take an offering to the temple, and then she would be considered clean again. And she had not known that for 12 years. She would be included again, and she hadn't known that for 12 years. Her stigma, her reputation, her labels were changed that day. Instead of being untouchable, she was now somebody that was included. I don't know what your reputation is. I don't know what your reputation has been. I don't know what people say about you or how they label you or how they talk about you to other people. And I don't know how you label yourself as well. I don't know what mistakes in your history or in your present. I don't know what misfortunes in the upbringing of your life or moments of your life have happened. But whatever label is on you, whatever stigma you carry, however people think about you, God is able to break that stigma. God is able to give you a fresh start. He is able to give you a new day. He is able to take off those labels and change you. God wants to do that. I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is God's word. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You know, when Jesus takes you on, when you say, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I am following you. Something changes forever. It's a spiritual reality that will not leave you the same. You become a new creation. It's a spiritual truth. Something in the dynamic of the heavens changes that moment. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. You are no longer the same. But you know what? It has a daily outworking in our lives as well. It's a spiritual truth that we can see the reality of in just day-to-day things. But you see, if we think in our heads, I will never break free from that. I'll never be different in that area. I've always had that attitude. I'm always going to have that attitude. I've always been like this. I'm always going to be like that. I maybe like to be different, but hey, I've tried that before and it didn't happen for me. If God says that he makes us new creations, he can make us new in every area of our lives. I'm going to make it really real now about me, okay? Would you like that? I'm a bit weird, okay? But I don't mind that because I figure we're all a bit weird. And I'm looking at you today, right? So I don't mind that. I like a bit of weird. It keeps it real. And, a bit of diversity, all of that. But one of the issues that I used to have, I want to just show you how God does work in your life. Is that okay? One of the issues I used to have in my life was an area of jealousy, okay? I know, you're going to hate me after this, but an area of jealousy. Now, it wasn't about people's things. I didn't care if people had a bit, right? That's normal. But I didn't particularly care if people had more money or better cars or, you know, lived on the better side of town. That's never been a big thing for me. But what it was with me, and you can probably trace it back, but what it was with me, it was in the areas of friendships. I used to get really jealous if my friends had other friends. And I'd want a bezzy mate, and if it was my bezzy mate, no one else could hang out with my bezzy mate. And I just remember the first encounter with this issue in my life, right? I was about 7 years old. I was in a new school. I hadn't been there for long. And this lovely girl comes on her first day, and she's new. I'd been in a few weeks. Wasn't particularly feeling very settled there. But it was okay. No major problems. So this girl arrives, and I remember sitting around a table at school, and she had really nice handwriting. I've never had nice handwriting. Still don't. She had lovely handwriting. And I remember just one of the other kids really nicely welcoming her and saying, oh, your handwriting is lovely. And I know I was young because we were still writing with pencils, but I got my pencil that I just sharpened. And I stabbed her in the hand. God makes us all new. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. But I did. I stabbed her in the hand. It didn't draw blood because I didn't have many. I'm still quite, tender. And I didn't have many muscles then either. So it didn't go through. I'm not proud of this. I'm not telling you for a round of applause. I'm deeply ashamed. But he was like an expression of jealousy, which overtook me. I didn't, and you just find yourself doing something and then thinking afterwards, even as a child, what was all that about? But you see, it would continue. She was all right. Her hand still works. But I left that school a few weeks later. And it continued. It continued in my early 20s. I didn't stab any more people. But in my early 20s, I had a friend and we'd been hanging out that day, and I remember in the evening she wanted to hang out with another friend, and she asked me if it was, I don't know why she asked me if it was okay. I didn't come across as intense and weird. I came across as pretty normal. But I remember saying, no, I'd rather you didn't do that. And now I wouldn't have said anything if she hadn't asked. But that's ridiculous. But that was me. And I'd been a Christian for a little while then. So God was still deeply at work in me. And anyway, she did go. And that's all right, because you can't do that to people. You don't want to control your friends or you have no friends. And then went to Bible college. Yeah, really. God really had to do a lot. So I had to go to Bible college. And I remember even then in the first year, I made really good friends with a girl. And then she started to have other friends. And I was like, I couldn't deal with it. Just couldn't deal with it. I'd be like, I didn't really say much to her, but the feelings of jealousy and the feelings like, oh, she'll think all her other friends, if she has friends with other people, she'll think they're better than me and that she won't want to be friends with me, I think must have been the bottom line of it. But, I couldn't, I'd be crying, I'd be upset, I'd not, privately, but I was married then, and my poor husband, David, is just like looking at me thinking, who have I married? What is this? But that's the thing with issues in your life, they usually, yeah, whatever, but anyway, I tell you what, it's really good when God works in your life and you're part of a couple, because the other person benefits from that and you want to be a blessing to that person. But it was like God needed to do something in me. Something needed to change. And you know, it only really got changed in my life when I started to realize this isn't freedom. This is not freedom. When something is making me so emotionally upset, making me think about, taking up my thoughts and my energy and my emotions and just keeping me from just getting on and enjoying my life. This isn't freedom. This was an area of bondage in my life that just, you could have weeks where it didn't show up, but when it showed up, it showed up. And for some of it, it's a bit more subtle, but I bet there's not anyone in this room who thinks, well, I do struggle with this from time to time, and that I would like it to be different. But you know, it's faith that takes you to your breakthrough. You see, God was saying, I've made you new, Lisa. God was saying, I can set you free from this. If you hold on to my word, if you keep in my word, I'll set you free from anything. And it's the moment that I realized this is bondage and not freedom, where I'm like, God, you've got to deal with this in me. You've got to help me with this. And practically, one of the things, whenever I went into any kind of situation, I'd actually say to God, God, I give my emotions to you today. I need you to control them. I don't want to be an up and down person. I don't want to end this day crying for some ridiculous reason. I put my emotions in your hand, and I expected him to work in my life because I knew that I could tell him, and I knew that he cared for me. And I would guard my heart more. I would go into a situation and guard my heart, just prepare myself. But you know, over time, and just bringing God into the situation changed it. I don't struggle with that anymore. It's all right, girls who are going to be my friends in Hope City Church. You can have other friends as well. I won't be checking up on you. But it was a faith thing. It was taking hold of something that God had for me and actually involving him with it that set me free from that. And there is nothing that God can't set us free from. Another thing for this woman that day that changed, it says in Matthew 5, verse 27 to 28, it said, she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. That day she changed from being an observer to becoming a participant. You know, how many people that day went, I'd heard the reports about Jesus, so went out to have a little look-see to see what was going on. You know, observers, they watch, they analyze, they question, and there is certainly a place for that. But if you remain an observer, what happens is sometimes you just end up watching somebody else's miracle and maybe applauding from the sidelines. But when you become a participant, you're really in on the action. That day she said, if I only reach out and touch him. Sometimes you've got to go from observation to participation. Where you just know, I'm not going to just think about this anymore. I've questioned enough. I've asked enough. Now I need to get involved. Now I need to activate my faith. Now I need to do something about it. And she did that very day. You know, breakthrough doesn't come just because you know the person who can give you the breakthrough. It doesn't come just because you hear that it is possible. But breakthrough comes when you realize what Jesus holds for you. He has everything that you need. Everybody, listen to me now. He has everything that you need. Everything. And when you realize that he carries that, he has that, then you can activate your faith and you can take hold of it. She didn't even have to ask him for it. Her faith just caused her to participate, to step up and to take what was hers. You know, that can happen in the area of healing when God can raise faith and expectation in our own hearts, where we can just come to him ready to take what is ours. And that was what was going on in her that day. But it can be in the area of our walk with God as well, when actually we go from just observing, just being part of things, to going, no, I want to be central in what God is doing. I remember watching people, Leadership Academy started this week, and our very beautiful Laura Gray began that this week. We're so proud of her. I'm going to get her on the stage. No, I'm not. She would hate that. So we'll wait a month or two before that. But for myself, I remember about 18 years ago, I did a similar thing to a Leadership Academy. I remember went from just watching the other girls do it and seeing how God works in their lives to going, no, I'm going to do that. And, you know, for me, that just became, it involved change. And whenever we move from observation, however that is, I'm not saying everybody has to go to Bible college, but whenever you move from observation to participation, then change happens in your life, but your dreams begin to unfold. Your dreams begin to unfold. It become and you know, when you step up, even for example, in the life of this church, when you're like, you know, I want to help out. I want to be part of bringing the dream to be a reality, because this city, we're going to see it change one person at a time, life after life. But that takes people who activate their faith and don't just observe, but get involved and be part of things. And as you do that, it's not that the corporate is just blessed and other people are blessed. You actually set yourself free from personal limitations. The last freedom I want to tell you about that woman got that day, it was freedom from fear. She broke out from fear. It says in Mark chapter 5, and I really love this. It says, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. That woman knew what Jesus had for her, but she was afraid of him. She didn't really want to go near to him. As soon as she got what she needed, really she wanted to run and hide away again. And you can understand that, because you can imagine the amount of rejection that she'd received in her life. Everybody rejected her. She was the untouchable woman. She was the person you didn't go near. And so when Jesus singles her out and looks for her, her reaction is to hide. But that day he wanted to not just heal her, but to set her free from her fear. We were never made to be afraid of God. You know, there's a respect, there's an awe for him for who he is. But we were never meant to be afraid. We're never meant to think, I cannot come near to God. You know, that's why he's made it possible with Jesus that we can come near to him, because he loves for us to be near to him. Verse 33, it says this, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. You know, Jesus brought her near that day to tell her, it's okay. He brought her near to say, it's okay. I love that you've reached out to me today. I love it. It's okay. To tell her that she had done well. And that's going to be really important to some of you today. That actually God does want a conversation with you. He wants to hear the whole truth. You know, you don't want to go around your life telling everybody the whole truth about everything that's going on in your world, because it's not everybody's business. But you know, God loves to hear the whole truth. You don't need to go to God with a whole load of faith vocabulary. You just go to God with how it really is. And when you go with an element of faith, is I'm telling you this, God, because I want you to do something in my life. That's when he comes near to you and he says, it's okay. I'm glad you've come near. You've done well. Now come on, let's sort this out. He doesn't want us to hide back in the crowd. You see, he wants to take labels off you. He wants to unravel the rubbish, the junky things that we've picked up along the way that we didn't have at the beginning. You know, things that have attached themselves to our lives, ways that have just become normal to us that we want to be free from. And what he wants to do is he wants to replace every label with affirmation. To say, you're mine. You know, you've done well. You know, I've got what you need and I'm going to give it to you. And I affirm you. Before the whole crowd of people, imagine this. Everyone who had ever rejected her. Everyone who'd ever sniggered about her. Every dinner time conversation when they've mentioned her. This woman that you kept away with that was untouchable. Isolated. Before all those people, hearing Jesus affirm her, accept her, and tell her she'd done well, she was free that day. I think any sense of rejection just dropped off her, and she had a fresh, new day. God is never acting from a distance. He doesn't want to act from a distance in your life. Church, it is personal. It is for you. I'm going to finish with this in Acts chapter 2. It was Pentecost, and Peter was telling the crowds about what Jesus had done on the cross and what it meant for their lives. And it says this in verse 24. Peter says, God raised Jesus, raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Imagine this. Jesus, right? He died. So what do you do with a dead person? You put him in a grave. But you see, death cannot hold you if you've not sinned. And Jesus had never sinned. He'd done nothing wrong. So death is trying to keep a grip on him. And it's like it's got its hands trying to hold on to Jesus, trying to keep him in that grave. But he said he's going to rise after 3 days. And he knew he would rise after 3 days because he knew death had nothing on him. So he couldn't hold him. So he's like pulling himself away from that. And it's like butterfingers as it tries to keep him down because death had no hold on him. It couldn't keep him down. The ultimate prison is death. The ultimate downer, the ultimate you lose is death. But if Jesus was delivered from death, if he was delivered from death and delivered that freedom to you, which is what he has done, there is nothing that he cannot free you from. There is nothing that you cannot be liberated from. No change that he cannot work in your life, no matter how small, no matter how detailed, no matter how unknown by anybody else in the world, nothing that he cannot free you from. God wants to do that today. Romans chapter 8 says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he also with him graciously give us all things? He will graciously give us all things. So what is your need today? Maybe the person next to you doesn't even know, but you know. You know what you need. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you've longed for a closer relationship with God, but you don't think it's really for you. It's just for the holy, spiritually types of people. Maybe there's a habit, a way of thinking, a personal issue that you'd love to see changed. Maybe it's a healing. Or maybe just today you're realizing that you've been an observer for one day too long, and it's time to become a participator. Time to step up in some way in your world and in your work with God and in the life of church. Whatever today God wants to help us. Let's all stand as we respond to this message right now. Thank you, God. The Bible says this. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And it says this, whatever is in heaven, we can release it onto the earth. Right now, there is liberty for people. If you want me to pray for you now, because there is an area in your life where you want freedom, lift your hands up to God right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If there's some change in your life that you want to see, something you've been struggling with, some area you want God to just step in, and just take the weight and just turn it around. He's going to do that for you today. Thank you, Father. Father, we come before you right now. And to thank you, Father, that where your Spirit is, there is liberty and freedom. Father, I thank you. You say, draw near to you. And cast all our cares on you because you care for us. But Father, I thank you, you don't just come with a pat on the head. Father, you come with freedom. I thank you there is an open door before many of us today, a freedom just to step into. And Father, I pray by your Spirit, you'll begin a work and do a process of work in our lives of setting people free from thoughts, from habits, Father, from all host of things, God. And right now, Lord, as it is in heaven, release into their lives the freedom that you have for them. Father, renew minds, God. Bring truth. Spirit of God, you're there to remind us of the truth when we need to remember the truth. May that truth work in so many lives today as you keep reminding us what you have done and where you are taking us and how we can take hold of you in it. But Spirit of God, right now, do miracles in people's lives. Let what they think could never change become something of their history, God, as they lean on you and as they rest in you. Father, we thank you for your precious work. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Amen. For some others in here today, you might not have started your walk with Jesus yet. You might have heard about him. You might have been thinking about him. You might have read up on him. You might have walked with him previously, but there's some here today, and it's time to come home. It's time to come home, and it's time to just start again. Just to start again. And if you've never begun, it's a fresh day, a new day, when he can take your reputation and he can take what is old and he can make you new. We're going to pray in a moment. And as I pray, I want everybody in the room to pray with me. Is that all right? Every lip moving, I will be looking. And we're going to pray for God to give fresh starts in this room today. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Father God. Yeah, repeat after me. I'm rubbish at this, but God saves anyway. This is really good. Father God, Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that death could not hold him. And I thank you that the freedom he experienced for us, you want to give to us. Lord, I ask you today, look at my life. Look at all that I am. I want you to come into it. Jesus, I put my faith in you today. I thank you, you can work in my life and save me this day. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.